Hello, it's Tuesday, July 25th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, being broadcast from Happy Valley, Pennsylvania. A beautiful Tuesday afternoon. We're glad you're all out there. Glad you're tuning in. What we're going to do here first is let you know what we have in store for the rest of the week. Tomorrow, we're going to review a movie called The Protocols of Zion. Now, most people don't even know that this was made into a movie. It was made by an individual named Mark Levin, and it was recently released on DVD. I didn't even know it was out there, but what we do a couple nights a week here to wind down is watch some movies. So at the video store last night, I saw this movie, and it ties in with what we're going to do Friday, because there's an individual named Bill Douglas who's a part of 911truth.org.
Well, at the very least, he's a cheerleader for 911truth.org.
Right. And he recently wrote an article, or I guess it was an email, or a posting in a group, saying that anybody that associates or blames Israel for any kind of participation in the 9/11 terrorist attacks is COINTELPRO and anti-Semitic. He also urged everyone to go to the mainstream media and tell them.
Well, to all the media, not just the mainstream. But he was triggered to do this, supposedly, by a documentary he watched, which is this video we're talking about, Protocols of Zion, that we're going to watch, I guess, tonight.
Yes.
Where in this video, he saw some signs, some 9/11 truth signs that were made, produced by 911truth.org. And since he says this video is about anti-Semitism, it cast a negative light on 9/11 truth activists by lumping them in as anti-Semites.
Which is basically, he's saying that if there's proof, if there's evidence, if there's anybody forthcoming with information that ties Israel into the 9/11 terrorist attacks, then that quote-unquote makes them anti-Semitic.
Right, and he goes on to urge every 9/11 activist out there to contact the media and disavow people who do try to discuss and address the Israeli aspect of 9/11. As COINTELPRO, as FBI agents.
Yeah.
He accused me of all of these things because I address the Israeli aspect of 9/11 quite a bit.
Now, it seems like since we've been putting the word out about my most recent book, which will be on the presses here within the next day or two, we should have them here within the next couple weeks. It's called 9/11 Evil, subtitled Israel's Central Role in the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks. They caught wind of this, and now what they're doing is trying to beat the drums so that they can get the word out that, oh, no.
I don't know if it had all to do with the book coming out, because a lot more people have been speaking out about the Israeli element of 9/11, the Israel angle. And Israel is just another arm of the evil, but these 9/11 truth groups, like 911truth.org, wants to contain the finger of blame on the Bush administration only, U.S. government involvement only. The buck stops at Bush and Cheney, according to these people. But we know that the scenario is much broader and bigger than that. And they are trying to deflect attention away from Israel's role in 9/11. And it was more than a peripheral role. It was a central, major key role in the whole operation.
And then we blow this whole case out of the water with the release of this book. Also, on Friday, this is going to coincide with an article that Lisa's working on that shows not only what Bill Douglas wrote, but also another member of, what's it, Truth Alliance?
Well, the moderator of the forum that Bill was posting in, which is 911truth.org's internet discussion forum. It's called 9/11 Truth Alliance. We've spoken about that forum a little bit on our show in the past. The moderator of this Truth Alliance forum is Lori Price, who runs Citizens for Legitimate Government. That is a daily news wire that also appears on the front homepage of 911truth.org's website.
And didn't she come up with some talking points?
Yeah, she came up with a script of approved language whenever you discuss Israel, the Jews, or Zionists in relation to 9/11 or at all. She's basically telling people what the approved speech is and what unapproved speech is.
Now, doesn't this sound oddly...
The word Nazi.
Yeah, doesn't this sound oddly like the mainstream media?
Yeah. Well,
the talking points?
I guess I was the only one that challenged her on that little script she produced and posted in the forum. And so it triggered a very intense, long debate, not even really a debate, just some heated exchanges where I started getting attacked by people saying I should cut Lori a break because, you know, they all want to point the finger only at the United States, and I'm trying to show it's important to look at Israeli involvement, high-power Jewish power players that were involved, that had direct ties to Israel, and two former prime ministers of Israel, people like Larry Silverstein, and so on.
So we're going to address this on Friday, but it's very important to realize that here is yet again another person putting out a script for what you're allowed to speak about and what you're not allowed to speak about. And
funny,
so if they're not censoring articles, then they're pre-scripting. They're telling you what you're allowed to talk about.
You know, you can give them valid points, and they'll turn around and call you an anti-Semite.
Right.
You can give them valid,
just like
accurate,
the mainstream does,
truthful information that's not inconsistent with the facts. Okay? And they will call you an anti-Semite because they don't want the word Jew brought up.
And aren't,
or Israel.
Weren't there people also commenting to you, Lisa, that they sound like a Zionist protection racket, this group? Something like that?
Yeah. Well, and the responses that I was getting were exactly the same kind that we get when we do hear from rabid Zionists who think and proclaim that Israel never does anything wrong.
Right. So, anyway, tomorrow we're going to discuss the movie Protocols of Zion by Mark Levin. Thursday, I'm not sure what we're doing. Friday, we're going to address this 9/11 Truth Alliance and their protection racket to try to deflect all attention and blame and evidence away from Israel.
Right.
Now, as we mentioned on... Oh, one last thing also. Thank you again to everybody who's been participating in the Wing TV poll. We're also going to have those results on Friday. What is the most dangerous nation in the Middle East?
So if you haven't weighed in on this subject, you still have a few more days to do so.
And in all honesty, it seems like a no-brainer to us. But we're doing some of these polls for a specific reason, so that they can be a reflection. You remember how we were talking about mirrors and reflections? So that we can show people now, well, no, this isn't just a few certain people. This is a vast majority of people that, you know, answer the question, who is the biggest shill? What's going to be the next spike event? And now, what is the most dangerous nation in the Middle East?
According to you, out there.
So it's not just our opinion now. It's everybody watching and listening to this show. So, moving on, as we mentioned yesterday, we watched a movie a few nights ago called Our Fathers. And in all honesty, this was kind of a last-minute pickup from the video shelf where we got other movies, and this was just like, let's check this out. It starred Ted Danson, Christopher Plummer, Daniel Baldwin, and Brian Dennehy. And it was the last movie we watched of the ones we got, and we thought, let's watch it because it's due the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turned out to be a damn good movie.
Yeah.
But, to be fair, it's also a very disturbing movie because it delved into the very infamous Boston gay pedophile sex scandal that took place a few years ago. Everybody remembers that it was headlines for, God, months and months and years.
Involving pedophile priests who were sexually molesting little boys within their church congregation.
Right.
And it's just a really upsetting issue, and it was an upsetting movie.
Right.
And what was even more upsetting was the subsequent cover-up by the Catholic Church.
So what we want to do today is we're going to cover this movie and then, more importantly, show how it relates to certain things going on in our own alternative media. And the parallels are very, very unnerving because it's the same exact type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the movie started off with a guy that was going back in time and re-experiencing what was being done to him by the most infamous of all these degenerate priests, a guy named John Gagan.
Right.
And this guy was sick beyond any sickness. And this didn't just happen to a couple boys or a couple families. This happened over years and years and years, decades, in many different parishes that he got moved around in.
Hundreds of boys. And, yeah. And it turns out that John Gagan wasn't the only pedophile priest involved. But it also showed the lasting trauma.
Right.
Throughout these children's lives as they grew up, how they had problems with relationships later mm-hmm. on, how they became very dysfunctional members of society. They couldn't cope with life situations because they hadn't dealt with this horrible thing that had happened to them, this crime that was committed against them. And no, of course, that young, they thought nobody would believe them,
right.
especially if they spoke out against someone as respected as a priest.
Right. So these people ended up becoming clinically depressed, alcoholics, drug addicts, suicides, couldn't keep marriages together. As Lisa said, dysfunctional people. And it happened to hundreds and hundreds of them. Well,
because they were carrying around a very big right. secret.
Yeah. So, the movie moves on then, and we see Ted Danson, who plays a lawyer, that was beginning to get all of the evidence from various people and was starting a class action suit
mm-hmm.
against the church. Well, here's where it gets interesting, because Daniel Baldwin plays one of the victims of John Gagan, and Christopher Plummer plays Bernard Cardinal Law, who is, I guess, is almost as equally repellent as John Gagan. Both very sick, degenerate, faulted,
repugnant
characters. So, when Ted Danson starts bringing this information forward, the media, the mainstream media, finally picks up on it. Now, the mainstream media had known about this for years and years. They'd never moved on it. It was kind of a little hush-hush relationship between the church.
This time, because the records were sealed, the
right.
court records were sealed, and that piqued their interest.
Yeah.
Because apparently other similar types of civil cases weren't sealed. So they wanted to know why this particular case was.
Right.
And that led to more and more exposure.
Right, and Ted Danson was instrumental in having these sealed documents opened up to the press
right.
and to the public. So, as this goes on, you start seeing the workings of the Catholic Church, and not how they're denouncing the priests who had done this, but how they're trying to cover their own asses.
Well, they sort of lamely, they did, to cover their own butts to their congregations or to press statements where they publicly, you know, express sympathy
yeah.
for the victims, but at the same time, we're trying to cover their own
right.
butt by saying the Catholic Church cares about you all. And meanwhile, they didn't back that up with action against the pedophile priests,
right.
public action, serious, like hard, zero-tolerance action. They instead covered it up and tried to sweep it under the rug and tried to pay off the victims.
Well, that was it. You see how they try to use bribery,
mm-hmm.
payoffs, these little backroom deals where they take Ted Danson to this real fancy, swanky men's club.
And retaliation, too, against
yeah.
good priests
yeah.
who were speaking out.
Yeah, that's Brian Dennehy,
mm-hmm.
who is one of the priests speaking out. Well, it ends up that in the end, he was a gay priest, too. He wasn't a pedophile priest.
Right, but he was a good priest, and
yeah.
he spoke out against the wrongdoing of the pedophile priest and of the inaction and the cover-up attempts by the higher-ups, the hierarchy of the Catholic Church. He spoke out very stridently against all of these wrong actions, and they ended up retaliating against him. They found out he was gay in his past life when he was out of the church.
Right.
And they used that against him to smear him and get him removed.
Well, to try to silence
and
him.
And all he had tried to do was the right thing, speak out against the wrongdoing.
And now this is how it all relates to the mainstream, or to the alternative media, because at one point there's a scene where the characters, one of them says, well, you better ask whose side you're on in this deal, because it's bringing the whole church down.
Right.
Well, when it comes to all of these exposés that we've done about the alternative media, the same question applies now to everybody out there. And it's a very black and white issue. You better ask, whose side you're on, because it's bringing down the entire alternative media and patriot movement. With censorship, which we've very clearly proven now, is being done by certain members. This is black and white. This isn't a gray area. You're either for censorship or you're dead set against it. And it's just like with these pedophile priests, it's just like everything else in this alternative media. It's time now for people to say what side they're on. And
there's no room for being wishy-washy when it comes to your principles.
Yeah. Now, there's another scene where this Bernard Cardinal Law goes before his parishioners, and he gives them this soft soap speech and blah, blah, blah. And the parishioners sit there, and they start applauding him. That was one of the most repugnant scenes. They applaud him because it's obvious he's engaging in a cover-up.
Because he told them what they wanted to hear.
Good point.
That's why.
Yeah. And so this reminds us of all the sheeple, the group thinkers out there, that regardless of what any of these individuals are exposed doing in the alternative media, they still sit out there and applaud them. They're like the sheeple parishioners, or they're like the animals, those birds in Animal Farm. Remember?
Uh-huh.
That whatever the pigs would say, they would parrot it right back and applaud them.
Non-thinking.
Yeah. And so if you want to be a sheeple, a parrot, a lemming that goes over the cliff, you have every right to do so. But if you watch this movie, Our Fathers, and you see that part of the movie where the parishioners applaud Cardinal Law, and you're not filled with a repulsion and a sickness, then you have nothing inside you of any merit anyway.
Yeah, what was very strategic about how Ted Danson, as the lawyer of the victims, went after the priests, he also went after Cardinal Law.
Right.
Because he could, as an individual, because he could get, I guess, more of
a
case
settlement.
A bigger settlement going, going after him, because there's limitations on what you can sue the church for.
Right.
So he went after Cardinal Law, and what's interesting is how Law and his lawyer were discussing how he can get out of that, and one of the solutions was getting moved up, getting the Vatican to move him up to Rome to get him out of the country.
Yeah.
So he'd be untouchable.
Which brings us to Pope John Paul II.
Uh-huh.
Everyone
went
remembers
all
him.
The way up to the Pope.
Yeah. And he died last year. We remember the death watch that lasted for months about this. But there's one scene where the Pope's sitting there. You can see his hand trembling from his Parkinson's disease. And one of the big deacons or bishops or cardinals, whatever they call them in that whole hierarchy, he says, "Father, our donations are dropping worldwide because of this scandal." Now, they weren't lamenting over the suicides and drug addictions and clinical depression and alcoholism of all the hundreds and thousands of victims.
They betrayed the trust of their congregations and of these young children who believed in them and looked up to them and respected them. They betrayed this trust, and they destroyed these children's innocence.
But see,
they weren't lamenting that.
Yeah, they weren't worried about that. They were worried about their donations. Their income was dropping because of the bad press. And at that scene, it instantly hit me. Well, how many of these people in the alternative media are feeling the heat because people are wising up to their actions of censorship and money grubbing and fear-mongering and sensationalism and lying and faking interviews, and their revenue is dropping? So, instead of coming out and apologizing for all of the things we just listed, they attack the people who are exposing them because their revenues are dropping.
Right, which
you
is
see?
Kind of, it correlates with what happened to Brian Dennehy in that movie.
Yeah.
Because he was part of that church system, okay? Just like we're part of the alternative media, okay? He came out and spoke out against the wrong actions of other people within the church, and they retaliated against him by using humiliation tactics, public humiliation tactics.
Sound familiar?
To scare him, to discredit him, to get him kicked out.
Yeah.
And gee, who else is that happening to?
Yeah. Doesn't it seem like there's this GCN Jack Blood cabal that's using these sick degenerates that are lying and using sexual humiliation, sexual predators, cyber stalking.
The hierarchy.
Yeah. So again, we see this exact corollary. And at one point, one of the victims actually meets with Cardinal Law. And he says, it's time to take the mask off and fess up to what you've done. Well, none of these people in the alternative media are fessing up to what they've done. And Cardinal Law, even though he had these platitudes publicly, behind the scenes, he was still plotting ways to worm his way out of
right.
it. And finally, Ted Danson.
And he was the one behind Brian Dennehy's character getting attacked and
right.
smeared. And thrown out of his church.
Right. And anyone who thinks that what's happening to Lisa and Wayne TV is just a bunch of degenerates acting solely on their own is sadly mistaken. Well, finally, Ted Danson had the key line of the movie where he says, money is the only language they understand. He said, that's why we have to go after them and get a settlement, because the church, the most vital thing to them, isn't saving one's soul, isn't relaying Jesus' words, it isn't trying to help people
and
find salvation.
There aren't good
right.
priests who really do want to help.
We're talking
save
about
souls.
The upper hierarchy.
Well, in every organization, you know, there's corrupt people in it. You know that. It's not exclusive of any group or organization. There's even corrupt people within the church system, and a lot of you out there are Catholics and fully believe in everything with the Catholic Church, but you're kidding yourself if you think that also hasn't been infiltrated by corrupt individuals, because
right.
it has.
So, Danson says money is the only language they understand.
Right.
And how many money grubbers, money, filthy money grubbers, do we see in this movement that make their shows one big, long, extended infomercial that are constantly saying, buy my video, buy my pay-per-view site? They're the same as these corrupt people in the Catholic hierarchy. And the correlation, if you watch the movie one last time, is called Our Fathers. You'll see it clear as day. Which now brings us to an email and an article that's on the Wing TV homepage. The article is called GCN Jack Blood and the Sex Scandal Cover-Up. Well, I got an email this morning from Mr. Jack Blood. And I think the impression is out there that Jack Blood and myself never correspond. We do correspond via email. We're not buddies by any means, but whenever we have an article come out, I always send it to Blood. He sends me his commentary. We bicker back and forth a little bit. Until the next time. So there's been an ongoing correspondence between us. And what I basically always tell Blood, I try to tell him to do, is do the right thing about this. Well, Blood starts off his email addressing this whole Revere Radio thing. And I'm going to quote the first two sentences of his email, just like I did in the article. And he says, you were friends with Revere Radio when my wife and myself were being viciously attacked by Sonny Crack and Revere Radio. You stood by and let me take it. Now you expect me to jump in for you? Suffice to say, seeing that no one stuck up for me and Tony, I decided that Revere make better friends than enemies. So this is what we addressed in the article. And my head was spinning. I don't even know what to think of this ill logic.
We were never, ever friends
yeah.
with Revere Radio. As I explained in my article previously, they contacted us via email and were trying to set up interviews on Wing TV and their network. And we had them linked on our Radio A-list for 2 days. We removed that link when we heard some of their shows, because they were disgusting and repugnant.
The language
vile.
They used, how they were referring to women,
and
so
we didn't want
forth.
Any part of that. There was never a time when we were friends with Revere Radio Network, and to say any such thing is a lie.
And I'll even go so far as to say I've never emailed one of these people ever.
Right.
I've never been in one of their chat rooms. I've never spoken
yeah.
on the phone to them. I've had zero,
right.
zero contact. So right off the bat, when Jack Blood says we were friends with them, he's lying right off the bat. We
well,
point that
get
out.
Get to the other part.
Okay. So.
No, about us, him getting attacked by
right.
Sonny
okay.
Crack.
Well, let's
him
address
and his,
it.
Him and his wife. We didn't have any idea at the time, until very recently, that Jack Blood and his wife were being attacked by the Revere gang. If we had known back then, we certainly would have spoken up. But why didn't Jack Blood take matters into his own hands and cut off all ties with these people or speak out and expose them?
Right, here's what Jack
Blood... To protect and defend his wife.
Here's what he should have done was the same thing we're doing. Expose Revere
right.
Radio, protect his wife, never, ever, ever have
Let
anything to do with them.
Let people know what they were doing so that he could chop them off at the knees, nip it in the bud, and not allow them to do what they apparently must have done to him and his wife to anyone else.
Right, but instead, Jack Blood says, and this is very self-serving, I'd rather have them as friends than enemies. So this is kind of like...
Well, let me get to something.
Wait, let me say something first. He wants to be friends with these people, like Sonny Crack. Sonny Crack, who promotes dealing drugs to children, killing crackers, that means white people, killing police officers, pimping, and sexually degrading women in the most humiliating way possible. He wants to be friends with those kind of people?
Well, the reason he wants to be friends with them is so they'll stop attacking him and his wife. That's
right.
Why he decided to befriend them and kiss their butts so they would leave him and his wife, Tony, alone. It's better to attack someone else than to attack me. That's basically what he's saying. And I don't know how he could live with himself or how his wife could live with him after taking such a position. But I guess that's a matter of respect and trust and betrayal that I just...
And weren't you saying that if I had done something like that,
I would have... Well, forget it. You wouldn't be in my life.
Yeah, but I would have lasted for like 1 minute and I'd be
gone. The only reason I even found out that they did attack him recently, before they blocked me from looking at their forum, they blocked my IP apparently, I looked through their forum archives from going way back, and I saw that there was some fighting going on there, some arguing and bickering back and forth, and Sonny Crack was attacking Jack Blood.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't know that at the time. I just found that out recently. So for Jack Blood to presume that we knew all along this was going on flatters himself more than necessary, because he really wasn't important enough for us to go and be reading his forum every day back then.
Right. Now, what this is doing
we don't know.
With Jack Blood saying that he'd rather be friends with them than enemies, that'd be like somebody saying, well, you know what, I heard about Charles Manson.
Yeah.
And he's killing all these people. So instead of him potentially trying to kill my family, I'm going to go and be friends with Charles Manson. And that's what Jack Blood did with these sick degenerates, is he allowed them to take over his message board. He harbored
right.
them.
He lets them do whatever they want in his own forum just so he won't be attacked.
Right.
It's
or,
better to do it to someone else than to do it to me.
Right.
That's
or,
what he's saying.
It's like, let's go back to this movie, Our Fathers. Say there's a parishioner in this church, and he knows that the priests are raping and sodomizing the boys in the church. So he goes up to the priests, and instead of exposing them, he says, you know what, I'll be your friends. Just make sure the priests don't sodomize or rape my boys. And that's what Blood's doing with these guys, is saying, well, you know what, I'll harbor you, I'll quote-unquote befriend you, just don't attack me anymore. What kind of
disingenuous is his support of Revere Radio anyway? Because you know there's got to be some underlying resentment there for the attacks they've done against him and his wife in the past. Is that all just forgotten and swept under the rug? How does Jack's wife feel about Revere Radio if she was attacked by them or he was attacked by them? To say long live Revere Radio and then go on their show and have them on your show, I mean, they can basically do whatever they want now, because they know that if Jack doesn't go along with them, they'll just start attacking him again, and they know Jack can't hack it.
Yeah.
And he won't expose them.
Jack says...
He won't do anything.
He says, long live Revere Radio. He's called Sonny Crack an artist. Someone that promotes pimping, misogynism, hatred to women. That's an artist.
And
that's
remember,
art.
Those are the kind of friends Jack wants. The kind that will help him do wrong actions, like backstabbing people, like
yeah.
what he tried to get us to do with John Statmiller. We wouldn't do it, so he decided we're not his friends.
Yeah.
Now he's hooked up with a bunch of people who have no problem doing the wrong thing, hurting other people, viciously attacking people, telling lies about people. Those are the kind of people he wants to fit in with, as long as they don't attack him.
And look at this sick little symbiotic relationship. Blood basically is saying he doesn't even like these guys.
Yeah.
He's just using them so they don't attack him.
Right.
And allow,
so they leave him alone.
And harbors them in his sight. And the Revere guys have been criticized for using Jack Blood to get more attention so they can be on his website and his radio show so they can get more hits on their site. So you have this sick, twisted, symbiotic relationship where one side's as bad as the other. They're both using each other. And Jack's saying, in essence, he doesn't even like these people.
Yeah. The minute Jack Blood saw what these people were all about, he should have immediately made efforts to expose what they were doing to him and his wife. That would have chopped them off at the knees. It would have discredited them in the public eye permanently. They never would have gotten any bigger than what they were, which was just nothing. They were a speck. They weren't even a blip on the radar screen at that point.
That's face
but
of
Jack
it, they
made
are.
Them bigger than what they were by having him on his show and by giving them positions in his forum and letting them run amok. Jack Blood rolled out the red carpet for the perverts and the degenerates and the sexual predators.
And like Lisa said before the show, it's like the mafia. The mafia kills part of your family, kills your neighbor on the left and the neighbor on the right.
And they say they're going to kill you if you don't join them.
So you
join them?
Yeah. So that's what Blood's doing is he's joining. And look at the difference in approaches now. Wing TV is exposing the degenerates.
Because I don't want what's happened to me to happen to anyone else. And I'll do whatever I can to make sure it doesn't happen to anybody else. And if I had known that it was happening to Jack Blood's wife and to Jack back then, if he would have come out and told people what was going on outside of his little forum, then maybe somebody else could have helped him and would have helped him. I know I would have spoke out because I don't want to see any woman being viciously attacked.
And
like
it's
that.
Like we told John Statmiller's wife, if this was happening to her, we'd be shouting it from the highest rooftop.
But Jack kept it all contained. He wanted to handle it himself because that's what Jack wants.
And he joins. He joins with the predators. So what we see now is this big sex cover-up at GCN with Jack Blood, and even extends to John Statmiller. As we said last Friday, Statmiller calls us up and says, we can't go on RBN anymore and talk about the sexual degeneracy that's linking Revere to GCN and Revere to Jack Blood.
And make no mistake about it. It is very solidly linked to GCN. And Ted Anderson knows all about it.
So what we're saying here is, why are the people at GCN trying to cover this up? Alex Jones knows all about it.
Yep.
Jack Blood knows all about it, and GCN owner Ted Anderson knows all about it. And instead of any of them speaking out about it, making a public statement denouncing this, saying that these degenerates won't be allowed on Jack Blood's show ever again, that they won't be allowed in Jack Blood's forum anymore, that we want to run them out of this movement, this loose association of people.
You don't stop people like that by giving them more latitude.
Right, and that's what they're doing. Instead, all of them are trying to do a big, massive cover-up, just like the priests were doing in Boston to cover up the sex predators.
The almighty dollar.
Right, they don't want their income to be hurt. And this is such a correlation between the priests and the pedophiles and the sex degenerates and Jack Blood and GCN that watch this movie, Our Fathers, and you'll see it. It's clear as day. And even John Statmiller now is becoming part of the cover-up. Not once has Statmiller come out and denounced these people. Instead, he's telling us, we can't talk about it. We can't expose it.
And you know what's really ironic about that is the day that Statmiller did that show about Jack Blood, what was it, February 21st of last year?
2005.
Okay. He himself said we need to raise the bar and be better in the alternative media than the mainstream, or we're just like them, that we're no different. He said, I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what he said on that show. And look, now he's a mirror image of the mainstream media.
And the Boston sex scandal.
Right.
So I'm going to, right now, and I've spoken to Ted Anderson, owner of GCN, more than one time, more than two times about this. I'm going to say this right to Ted Anderson to close this show. You know what's going on, Ted Anderson. If you do nothing whatsoever about this, then you're no different than Bernard Cardinal Law was in Boston, who covered up the pedophile sex scandal up there.
Yeah, yeah. And Jack Blood, you ceased to be a victim when you became a predator yourself.
Right.
You ceased being a victim when you did the wrong thing. You didn't choose to do the right thing and protect your wife and your family. You chose to do the wrong thing and get in bed with the bad guys. So you're not a victim. You're not a victim. You're part of the problem.
We'll be back tomorrow with our review of Mark Levin's Protocols of Zion. We have no idea what's in this movie, but you know what? I'm kind of intrigued by it because I can only imagine what they're trying to do with this hardcore propaganda. So until tomorrow, folks, please listen. Please try to think about what we've said during this show. The correlations are there. And as I said in that movie, Our Father, it's time now to decide what side we come down on in this. Do we want to be sheeple sitting on a fence, or do we want to take a firm stance for what is right? Until tomorrow, keep your eyes open because there is a lot going on.
See you all then.